going through a series called Red Letters. We're going to look at seven intimate conversations that Jesus had with individuals while he was here on earth. Last week we looked at the conversation that Jesus had with Satan, the devil, as he was being tempted in the desert. This week we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 8. I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to open it to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be looking at a short section there, a section about a centurion who comes to Jesus and asks for healing of a servant. This passage will focus on the centurion's request, his faith, and then Jesus' response. If I were to tell you that I had 37 cents in my pockets, would you believe me? Jack says yes. What would help that? Well, I could rattle it around a little bit, and you might know, but right now you're experiencing faith. You have faith, and you're trusting that what I am telling you is true. That is what we call faith. Some of you maybe wouldn't believe it. Maybe he's trying to trick us. Maybe he just put some washers in his pocket, and he's jingling those around. So he really doesn't have 37 cents. Well, washers are actually probably worth a lot more than 37 cents now, aren't they, Jack? Maybe you would base your decision of whether you're going to trust me or have faith in what I'm telling you on my past history. Maybe you know my character. Maybe because you heard the change, you would believe, but whether that's the case or not, you're not actually seeing it. And that's somewhat similar to how we have faith as well in God. We don't always see what we have faith in. Billy Graham said it this way. He said, "Can you see God? Have you ever seen him? I've never seen God. I know he exists. I've never seen the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? I see the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind." I want you to keep those thoughts in mind as we go to Matthew chapter 8 this morning and look at the faith that a centurion had. We're going to start in verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, "When he had entered Capernaum," the he there is Jesus, "when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. He said, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion replied, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And to the centurion, Jesus then said, 'Go, let it be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed at that very moment." Matthew is writing his gospel to the Jewish people, trying to let them know that the long-awaited Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for years, had now arrived. Matthew's writing to tell them about the Messiah and the proof of who the Messiah was. And so he begins in chapter 8 to talk about Jesus' miracles that he performs. The first miracle that Matthew mentions is in chapter 8 is the cleansing of a leper. Then he goes into healing the centurion's servant, and then after that, Matthew writes about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, and then later it talks about how he healed many who were oppressed by demons, and healed all those who were sick. But this specific passage, Matthew is writing, telling about Jesus' healing, but it gives us an insight into the powerful faith of a centurion. And there's four qualities of powerful faith found here. The first is this: powerful faith offers hope in bad circumstances. Powerful faith offers hope in bad circumstances. A centurion was a Roman officer. He was in charge of 100 men, 100 other soldiers, and this centurion had probably never met Jesus. He had heard maybe about who Jesus was. He had heard about the miracles that he was performing and the things he was doing and the words he was speaking, but he'd probably never come face to face with him. We know the servant had some form of an illness. We don't know what that illness was. We know he was paralyzed and he was suffering from that illness. And so the centurion comes to Jesus. And he tells Jesus about his servant. He presents the problem. The Bible says he came forward to appeal to Jesus. And he says, Lord, verse 6, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. There's not even a question there. He just comes and says, there's a bad circumstance. But I've heard that you can do some things, and so we find out later about his powerful faith that he had. The centurion is expressing hope that Jesus can work in the midst of this bad circumstance. Because of my faith in God, I see things probably different than some people. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a pretty bad accident. Some of you know about that or saw the pictures on Facebook or whatever, but I was in a pretty bad accident. One of the things as people have been talking to me about this is I decided I was going to pick a phrase that I was going to use quite often, and that I'm very thankful for God's protection. Very thankful for God's protection, because it wasn't anything I did in the midst of that accident. Pretty much I was just holding on for dear life. Ah! That was pretty much all I did during the accident. I was along for the ride. There's nothing I did. The vehicle, I could have been much worse, I think. The circumstances, some people call it luck. Some people are like, wow, you're really lucky. I was like, yeah, I'm just really thankful that God was protecting me. I don't think it was luck. I think God was protecting me, and I think in the midst of bad circumstances that there is hope. There is hope in the midst of terrible circumstances, and we looked at that in the life of Joseph just a few weeks ago. He had had some pretty bad circumstances happening in his life for years and years and years, but he chose to look at hope with those. That God was doing more than just making him go through rough times, but was actually working on his character and providing for salvation for people in that area through him. So does your faith cause you to find hope in bad circumstances? Does your faith cause you to find hope in bad circumstances? We're all going to have bad circumstances happen in life. It's kind of inevitable that bad things are going to happen. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we live on this earth with sin-cursed people, and so sometimes bad things are going to happen, but are you going to look at those and see the hope that we have in some of those situations? The second quality of powerful faith from this passage is powerful faith believes the impossible is possible. And the next two points are kind of linked together. Powerful faith believes the impossible is possible. This is fairly early, according to Matthew, in Jesus' ministry. He hasn't been doing a lot of things, a lot of miracles or anything like that. And according to the chronology here, the time frame of what's been happening, this centurion would have no way of knowing that Jesus could heal, could perform a miracle from a distance. I'm sure Jesus had been doing miracles and stuff, but it was with people face to face. But the centurion would have no idea that Jesus could just speak and say the words and his servant would be healed. The centurion simply says, verse 8, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word. Just say the word. You don't even need to come to my place. Just say the word. He knew somehow that Jesus' presence was not necessary for this miracle to occur. In the same way, we don't have Jesus' physical presence standing in front of us. So our powerful faith has to believe at times that the impossible, Janine walking in to see her doctor, that the impossible is still possible. That Jeremy getting told that his cancer's in remission, that the impossible is possible because of our faith. Third point, powerful faith recognizes true authority. And I told you these two were connected, the second and the third. Centurions understood authority. As I said earlier, centurions were placed over 100 other soldiers. They were in a position of authority, but they were also underneath the emperor of Rome. And so when they were giving orders, it was as if the emperor of Rome was giving orders to their men, because they had been given that much authority. When he spoke, he was obeyed because he was speaking with the emperor's authority. And so when the centurion begins to speak about authority, he's expressing to Jesus that he understands authority. When he's talking to Jesus and talking about authority, he's expressing that he understands that Jesus has authority. Jesus' authority is coming not just from himself, but there's a higher power involved. That Jesus' authority is coming from a heavenly Father. And the centurion was a Gentile, which means a non-Jewish person. And for a non-Jewish person to have this kind of belief of Jesus' power and his authority would be an amazing thing. While Jesus was on this earth, he demonstrated that power. He demonstrated that power over both spiritual and physical things. Healing the sick, casting out demons, turning water into wine, walking on water, feeding a multitude with just a few simple fish and loaves of bread, calming the storm. Jesus did many miracles. And he showed his true authority of who he was. And then Jesus responds to what the centurion says, and he says, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus talking about there? Doesn't seem quite to connect, but it does, because he's offering an insight to the Jewish people that were standing around him that the feast that was going to happen, that the Messiah would bring, was not just meant for the Jewish people. Many would come from the east and the west and would recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Salvation would not be limited just to the Jewish people. The Gentiles would be there as well. And when Jesus says, while the sons of the kingdom, he's talking about Abraham's offspring there, the Jewish people, the sons of the kingdom, some of them will be, what does the Bible say? Will be thrown into the outer darkness. They would have went, what? You're telling me that foreigners are going to come and feast with the Messiah, but those who are truly heirs of Abraham, they're going to be thrown into the outer darkness? You got to be crazy, Jesus. His words are meant to shock his audience. He's expressing the authority he has that many Jewish people would not recognize. They would not recognize his authority. Many Jewish people today still do not recognize Jesus' authority, that Jesus was the Messiah, promised Messiah. Sadly, many of them who do not believe in Jesus' true authority were going to earn the consequences for their unbelief. Jesus' authority still continues to this day. Believe that all authority on earth and in heaven and under the earth has been given to Jesus, that he has the power to work and turn the impossible into the possible. All that authority has been given to him by God. And so do you believe that Jesus has the authority to make the impossible possible? Do you believe that Jesus has that authority? Finally this morning, number four, powerful faith sees God work. Powerful faith sees God work. I struggled with this last point this week as I was reading the text, because not every time does somebody have faith that they're automatically healed. Not every time is somebody struggling in a bad circumstance is it just made great again. And so as I was working through it, I began to think about, well, it doesn't mean that God's not working in those circumstances. It doesn't mean that God isn't providing in those circumstances. And so powerful faith sees God work even in the midst of those hard times. We're talking about powerful faith. Multiple times Jesus would heal somebody and he would respond with, go, your faith has healed you. Go, your faith has healed you. Why did Jesus not say, go, I have healed you, or go, God has healed you? But no, Jesus chose to say, go, your faith has healed you, because our faith is interconnected with our relationship with God. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Talking about God. It is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Whoever would draw near to God must first believe that he exists. And so you must have faith in the things that maybe you can't see. You have to believe that he exists. In today's day and age, we believe so many things exist, but so many people struggle to believe that God exists. Even though they see his proof of his existence just by walking out those doors. Just by sitting in here and looking around, you see proof of his existence. But so many deny that he is a reality. In the book of Mark, Jesus is preaching and trying to do miracles, but he's in his hometown. Instead of accomplishing great works, the Bible tells us that he's hindered. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. and he went about among the villages teaching. Jesus was only able to heal a few people because of such unbelief. Jesus came and they said, "Who is this? Isn't that the carpenter's son? How would he be able to do anything? How would he be able to perform miracles?" And he marveled because of their unbelief, the Bible tells us. Faith. Faith is worked, is linked to God's work. Sometimes there's going to be healing. Sometimes there's not going to be healing. Sometimes God's going to intervene in a circumstance, a bad circumstance you find yourself in. Other times, he is not going to choose to intervene in those circumstances, and we don't always understand why. But I do know that if you have faith in God, that God is working in that circumstance. He's not finished with you. Having faith and powerful faith is vital to God's work. Faith is the conduit by which God chooses to act within our lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Powerful faith focuses on Jesus Christ bringing hope and having the authority to work out the impossible. The focus of our faith needs to be on Jesus Christ. First, powerful faith starts with belief. As Janine said, believe in who Jesus is. Believe in the gospel of what Jesus came to do, that he died on the cross. To pay the penalty for sin. So that we could have a relationship with God, because that relationship had been broken because of sinfulness. I remember when I was a young boy, I had a friend next door, a neighbor friend. He was a couple years younger than me, but we'd all always get together to play. One day, I was homeschooled, and he was public schooled, and so anytime I saw the bus go by, I knew he'd just gotten home. So I'd call him up, "Hey, you want to play?" And we'd get together and we'd play. So one day we got together and we were sitting on my parents' front porch doing something. We probably had Hot Wheels cars or something, you know. We were playing on the front porch. It was a nice day out. And I remember on the Sunday before they talked about like sharing your faith. And I thought, well, I've never done that with him, and so I should do that. And so I shared my faith. But then I wasn't ready. He started asking, "What? He died? Then he came back to life? You don't actually believe that, right?" Well, that takes faith. It takes faith to believe the things that we can't see. Jesus said this in John chapter 20. "Blessed are those," Thomas had come and asked to see his hands and feet. Jesus' response was, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us sitting here today. We've not seen. We didn't get to physically see Jesus' pierced hands and pierced feet, but yet we see his work in our lives. Yet we see his work in other people's lives. We see his work in creation, and so we believe in what God has done through Jesus Christ. So my final question this morning is, will you make a decision to have powerful faith in Jesus Christ? Like the centurion we talked about today. He had powerful, powerful faith. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the centurion who was brave, believed that you could do the possible, that you could turn an impossible situation and make it possible. Father, you are bigger than our hopes and our dreams. God, you are bigger than our problems and our failures. You are bigger than our struggles and our fears. You provide hope in the midst of some of the worst circumstances. Father, I pray that you would be working as Jack talked about. The Bible tells us that you're the only one that does the growth. You're the only one that causes growth in people's lives, but it's based on the type of soil that's there. So, Father, may the soil be such that it receives your word. May that seed, when it is planted, begin to develop roots of faith. May we as a church continue to spread that seed in our neighborhoods, spread that seed in our workplaces, spread that seed within your church, spread that seed in our communities. God, may we be responsible with the gift that you've given us. Father, I pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.